MediTalk with Dr. Ross Walker.
Dr. Ross Walker joins me this afternoon. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Brent. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Extremely well, thank you.
That's good. Let's get stuck into it. All the news last week, at the beginning of the week, was about this lead poisoning, and they were telling us to run our taps amid concerns of lead poisoning. Whatever you do of the morning, run your tap for, I think it was 30 seconds or a minute or something like that. What's your thoughts on this, Ross?
Well, I think it's a bit of scaremongering nonsense. There's no doubt that you might get a bit of lead in your taps from the brass fittings and the taps, probably not enough, almost certainly not enough to cause you any health issues whatsoever. But it doesn't. Does it hurt you to run the tap for 30 seconds first thing in the morning? No. Does it hurt you for a minute if you've been away on holidays? No. Does it help you? I probably don't know about that. But here's the real concern, and it's not the brass and the taps. The real concern is for people in your and my age group, i.e. those of us over the age of 50, because when we were kids, lead was everywhere, and we don't know how much that lead's affected us. Now, the only significant amounts of lead that's around these days is the lead in some jet fuels for smaller planes, and also the lead that's in some racing car fuel as well. And there's a few other things like bullets. So we know that JFK died of lead poisoning, and moonshine, if you're living over in the US, and it's out of cosmetics in Australia, some of the old herbal remedies a long time ago, but these things have all gone. But when we're exposed to lead when we're younger, that has some flow-on effects for later on. And there was a big study that went for about 19 years in about just over, I'm just trying to, 14,500 people, and they showed that even small amounts of lead in the bloodstream are associated with things like high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease. And so we used to say our safe level of lead is below five micrograms per deciliter, but what they're really saying is any lead can be associated with higher death rates from cardiovascular disease. So it's really not the lead we're being exposed to now, which is minimal. It's the lead we used to be exposed to when we had leaded petrol and all the other things, lead in paint and everything else.
Do you have a blood test to see if you have lead in your system?
You can have the lead measured in your bloodstream, or you can have hair analysis to see how much lead you've got there. And it can, and the problem is, as I said, it can increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. If it's really bad, it can give you anemia. It can also give you what we call a peripheral neuropathy, and it can certainly upset the gut and your muscles. So there's a lot of things that lead can do. It's not a good chemical at all. But what I'm saying is, I think this latest scare about the taps and lead in water is very much overdone.
Okay, but still run your tap for about 30 seconds of a morning.
If you want to, yeah.
Yep. Look, sweetened drinks pose greater diabetes risk than any other sugary foods. Why is this? Is it because the sweetened drinks are so full of this sugar?
Well, let's talk about sweetened foods, and it's the type of sugar we're talking about. The sugar in sweetened drinks and the sugar in fruit is called fructose. But a lot of people don't realize this, that fructose comes in two forms. It comes in a synthetic form and in a natural form. Now, the synthetic form is much harder to break down and causes more long-term health issues than does the natural form, which is broken down pretty easily. So the natural fructose that we get in things like fruits and vegetables and freshly squeezed juice, not the stuff you buy in supermarkets, and also so the fructose you get in honey, is broken down very easily by the body. And in fact, in this study where they compared that with the more synthetic forms of fructose that you get in things, especially in the US, they sweeten their drinks with high fructose corn syrup, which is an altered form of corn syrup and markedly increases the amount of synthetic fructose you get in your system. Breakfast cereals, baked goods, sweets, and some desserts. And these fructose sugars are not good for you. They put together 155 studies and found that in these studies that there was a significant deterioration in sugar levels and what we call hemoglobin A1C, which is three-month sugar control, in people who are having the synthetic fructose stuff, so the sugary drinks and the processed foods, but there was actually an improvement in people who had the natural fructose, and that's the distinction between the two.
Right. There's just nothing good in a sugary drink, is there?
No, in fact, it's not just the fact that if you, just say, for example, you had one soft drink a day, and people do this, Brett, I can't imagine why anyone would do that to their body, But if you have one soft drink a day, you increase your risk for diabetes by 50%. Obviously, it destroys your teeth. And a lot of people don't understand this. Whether it's a sugary drink or an artificially sweetened drink, you markedly increase your risk for osteoporosis, because there's a thing in these sweetened drinks, or these soft drinks, not the sweetened drinks, it's all soft drinks, called phosphoric acid. Now, some of the clever food companies call it food acid, so people think it's harmless. But what this stuff does is rip the calcium out of your bones, whether it's, as I said, whether it's artificially sweetened or normal. So marked increase for osteoporosis. Children who have a soft drink a day have a much higher rate of behavioral disturbances, ADHD, etc. And especially in the cola-based drinks, there has been a significant, not huge, but significant increase in cancer risk. So why anyone has soft drinks is just beyond me.
You and me both. This is a study that came out of the UK, or research that came out of the UK, but I dare say it's here on our shores as well. The poorest are dying nearly 10 years younger than the rich.
Yep.
And this is a trend.
Yeah, this is a trend. They looked at the data between 2001 to 2016. Over that time in the UK, there were 7.65 million deaths. And they found that the life expectancy in people who were poorer versus the richer people, there was in about a six-year difference in 2001. It's climbed up to close to an eight-year difference in women. And in men, it's gone from 9 years in 2001 only up to 9.7 years. And so, for example, in 2016, the average life expectancy for a woman in the lower socioeconomic group was nearly 79 years, but in the richer people, 86.7 years, and in men, 74 years up to nearly 84 years. So there are significant differences. So the obvious question here is why? So just to give you an example, you look at the royal family. In the royal family, they have incredible longevity. George H.W. Bush recently died in his mid-90s. And all of these people are obviously very well off, get a lot of stuff done for them. So even though people say they have a very stressful life, a lot of the minor day-to-day stresses are taken away. But also, people who are in the lower socioeconomic groups tend to have poorer diets than people who, and this is not across the board, of course, but they tend to have more takeaway food and processed foods, because the healthy food is typically more expensive. They tend to drink more. Alcohol, maybe it's about the same. There is more ingestion of illegal drugs in the lower socioeconomic groups, which is probably why they're there in the first place. And also, it's less accessible to medical therapy. So they don't have the same quality care that many wealthier people have. So there's a lot of reasons why poorer people don't do as well. And this is my problem, Brent, with something like Medicare. I don't like Medicare at all. I think it should be wiped out. What I would do is have a free system for the lower 20% of earners, and then from the 21st earner up to the 100th earner in society, I would then have a tiered system based on your income. But say, for example, the 21st earner might pay $5 a week in their private health insurance, and the wealthiest people might be paying $1 million a year in their health insurance. But I don't think Medicare is fair. And the reason I don't think it's fair is that somebody who has a mid-level, mid-income job can say, oh, I'll just go on Medicare. So the poor guy who can't afford it, who's got severe hip pain or spinal pain, can wait 1 to 2 to 3 years for their operation in pain, because somebody who could afford to have the operation is bumping them off the list.
Yeah, right. True. Just finally, six Australian doctors swallow Lego in the name of science. I read the article about this and I thought, why do they do it? But they did it.
Oh, this is hilarious. Yes, what they did was that they swallowed a little piece of Lego. So these are six paediatricians, or paediatric registrars. The paediatricians themselves, of course, wouldn't do it. And they swallowed a little piece of Lego every day, and then, wait for this one, mate, I don't know how they did it, went through their stools to find out how long it took for them to swallow the Lego through it coming through the stools. You say, well, why on earth did they do this?
That was my question.
And the reason they did it is because a lot of children do swallow little toys,
uh-huh,
and their parents are extremely worried that it's going to cause problems, perforate the bowel, et cetera, and it almost never does. And so five of the six doctors who did this, it took on average about 1.7 days for it to go from their mouth down to their anus. And one doctor went through his stools for a few days, couldn't even find the damn thing. And in fact, there were so many jokes around this bread. It's dreadful bread. But one of my mates went for the chair of gastroenterology, and they gave him the stool instead. and also, one kid swallowed a coin. The doctor said, "Come back tomorrow. We'll see if there's any change."
Boom.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But it's just weird to think that anyone would swallow this stuff. It's amazing what some people do in the name of science.
It is, but they were talking in the article I was reading, as in one of the problems, nothing to do with a Lego, but don't leave their little batteries lying around, because kids are attracted to those, and they can do some terrible damage. Lego, it doesn't.
So a little plastic toy, I'm not suggesting anyone should encourage their children to do it, but typically just gets passed through without any issues whatsoever.
It does. And we apologise if you're sitting down to lunch at the moment.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, thank you so much, Dr. Ross. We'll talk to you next week. When do you go on your Christmas break?
Is this our last?
Well, no, I'm here for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, so am I.
You're here for another couple of weeks. Yeah. Okay, so you might be part of our Christmas show on the Friday.
Oh well, certainly. Ring in and wish everyone a happy Christmas. No, I'm just having a lovely, quiet Christmas, and then. We're going up to Byron for a week. We love Byron Bay.
I saw a home just quickly up there the other day, and they were selling it. It's $15 million.
I know. Well, it's not my place, I can assure you.
What a home. Dr. Ross, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. Dr. Ross Walker. There you go. Yeah, this home in Byron Bay, I was showing my wife. $15 million. It's the most easterly residence in Australia. $15 million.